Woden in Chaf Aleph Adal Siman Ayin Hey Halacha Yud, and we're going to Siman Ayin Vav Halacha Dalet. So we're continuing with a discussion about lighting candles, and the Kitzur discusses what happens, which is a common case. You have multiple women lighting together. It's a hotel. Even multiple women came over to for the Friday night meal, and or they're staying in the house. So the question is, can many women light when the additional lights seemingly are not really adding much? And the answer is that yes. By Ashkenazim, yes. By Sephardim, they are more machmir, depending who you ask. Preferably, they actually, the place where Somad Chaliyah says that they should spread it, put it in the other side of their room, then it's considered two rooms, different etzas. And even by Ashkenazim, it would be an etzah, but halacha is that it's okay. And the reason why is because then each one can make a bracha. Because each additional light creates more simcha yaseir. What a beautiful statement. More light, more joy. And therefore, there's an additional joy, you can make a bracha. Now, nevertheless, even the Kitzur says that they should not have two in one menorah. So, B'shas Atchak, even he says that we're lenient with that, but you should make some level of distinction between the... So I think sometimes when you go to the hotels, they have like, you know, the tinfoil, and they have everyone lighting in the same type of tinfoil. There should be some level of separation if it's possible. Now the Kitzur discusses another practical question. Sometimes a person is worried that the light either is going to crack the glass or something to that degree, and they want to put water at the end on below the candle. So the chiddush is that even though you're doing an action before Shabbos, and usually an action done before Shabbos shouldn't be a problem, nevertheless, in this situation, we're concerned you might come and do it on Shabbos too, if you're going to do it before Shabbos. Therefore, there's a decree that you should not put water in the actual cup, the holder, that you're putting the menorah or the candle in order for it to go out when it once it reaches the water. Now, however, and this is a very important, however, the Kitzur himself holds, if it's in that same jar where the candle is, it's okay. That means if you need to do so, you don't have any choice, you're worried this and that, you could do so. But to put a separate container with water underneath a menorah that's hanging, so when the sparks fall into this, falling in into this bowl, they'll be caught by the water. That's a problem. Issur gamur, and you're not allowed to do so, even if you're doing before Shabbos. Nevertheless, to put like a bowl of something to capture sparks, that one is permitted to do so. And technically, you could do this even when it's already Shabbos. Why? Because sparks in this regard are not considered anything. And therefore, you're not really doing anything wrong with any malacha. And even the utensil itself doesn't become asr. Now, if you're going to place a utensil in order for the dripping of the oil or the chel of the fat, once it's dark, you're not allowed to do so. Why should you not be allowed to do so? Because when you're going to place that utensil, it's going to be now asr. It's going to be forbidden in carrying. So this is called a concept in the Gemara, Mevatekli Meichanai, where you're canceling the utensil from what it was able to be used for. I mean, you're not going to be able to move it around anymore. And it's considered like you stuck it there, like as if you built it to the table, whatever it is. Interesting concept. And therefore, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, but before Shabbos, you're allowed to do so. Now, if oil did fall into the utensil, like we said, you're not allowed to use that oil. And the utensil is not allowed to be moved around. This past Shabbos, someone asked me, he saw that his candle was, the glass was cracking. So, of course, if there's danger, one should, if it's pikuach nefesh, or if the chas v'shalom, the house could get on fire, one is allowed to put out the fire. But lechatchila, there are ways of doing it in a more permissible way, like carrying it in an indirect way. You need to get, I told him to take these baking gloves and take it to the sink, something to that. The less you are involved in directly putting it, or you can have a child put it out if there's going to be a concern. So the less you are busy with doing direct extinguishing, the better. But chas v'shalom to ever take a chance, especially b'zman hazeh, where we live next to non-Jews. So there's a special consideration when it comes to fires on Shabbos. Additionally, the Kitzur says if you just had in mind to put it there, but they never actually had something go on it, it doesn't become forbidden. It's a good practice to place the challahs on the table before you light the candles. Now, this is going to be a different discussion of whether you're allowed to carry after the move around the table. So that we'll get to in Siman Peites. a blind lady. So when it comes to lighting, she has a husband. The husband is the one that should make a bracha. But if she doesn't have a husband and she lives alone, she's allowed to make a bracha. The reason is because she benefits by the fact that there's candle lighting in the house. So the kitzur himself says, if she lives with other people should make the bracha. But unless she's the akeres habayis, she should light it and she should make a bracha. And then others can make a bracha too, meaning you could light and make a bracha. A woman forgot to light. Now this is a classical. You get these shadows a lot of times. Women fell asleep. Women were away. Women gave birth. So the halacha is that if she forgot, then she has to light another candle, additional candle. Some say that's where you get, you know, that's why there's additional candles. But after each time the woman gave birth, in truth, first of all, the halacha is that it's only if she forgot. But if it was oinus, it means against her, it was beyond circumstances, beyond her control, she's not obligated to light. Furthermore, I saw a Mod Chaliyahu. I usually tell women that if there's electricity that was on, then it's not, she doesn't have to light. And what she could do, she could give tzedakah, a charity, or add a little bit more oil, and or the equivalent, charity equivalent to the candle, to one candle. So therefore, today, well, there is more room to be lenient, especially that the point is to be, it's a hecker, a reminder, to be more careful. And that's the reason why if it's Aina, she's not obligated to add any more additional candles. We're starting Siman Ayin Vav, the laws of Tefillah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the minig is interesting to daven Maariv of Shabbos earlier than Shabbos during, than Maariv during the week. That means usually we prefer to daven by Tzeis because then you're davening Shema at the best time. But when it comes to Shabbos, we would rather bring in Shabbos. And then one of the purposes is that this way there's much less of a possibility of a person being Mechal Shabbos. So long as it's after what's called Plaga Mincha, you'll have to daven Marv. And like we said, even if a person usually davens later by Tzitzit Gehov, we could daven after Plag. Just one should be careful not to do what's called Tata Desatre Lechatchila. What does that mean? To daven Mincha after Plag and also Marv after Plag is a problem. So usually the minig is, at least especially in the late years that I've been even in Muncie, that people that have mincha before plague, they have what's called plague minchas and marvs. And but although there is what room to be lenient, especially when it comes to Erev Shabbos, to if need be, to do, let's say they used to have, I remember I grew up in Riverdale, you have the 7 o'clock minyanim, because it's difficult to get everyone, let's say, exactly before plague. But the halacha is that that's okay. There's a leniency. It's a chashuch, beautiful chashuch, and that explains because of Friday night, the fats were burned a little bit earlier. So it actually works out even halachically. The additional benefit also of davening early is that you're being moisif, you're accepting Shabbos, and moisif b'chol al HaKodesh. Now, many times people have minyan right before Shkia, as we mentioned this already. So even if they're going to daven mincha, best to accept Shabbos already before that. And you could still daven mincha, as we explained. The next part of the discussion in Maariv is Birkas Hashkivenu. What a beautiful, special blessing. Remember, I heard of Avigdor Miller used to point out that when you say Shmoltzei Seinu Ve'en, to really have kavana, that Hashem should guard us when we drive and when we travel. But there's a special consideration of Hashkivenu also when it comes to Shabbos. So the idea is like this. We end the bracha usually, Shema Moisei Lad, but on Friday night, since it's a bracha that's called Klolos Am Yisrael, and Klalos Am Yisrael doesn't need a shmira. Fascinating concept. It's like an inclusive bracha. And Shabbos itself is a shmira. So even though we usually say Shema Moisei Lo'ad, when it comes to Friday night, the ending is different. Say for us in the Shukat Shemera, Orad Hashem Peiras Shukat Shomalin V'alkom Zad Yerushalayim. But the halach is, if you didn't say so, you still fulfilled your obligation. And the same thing when it comes to Yom Tov. The minig is that after davening, we say, first of all, two things. When the nusach of Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu Ritzeinu Abim Luchaseinu changes Friday night, Shabbos morning, and Mincha. Hope you noticed that. The difference is Friday night we say V'yanuchu Va, which is feminine terms. Shachas and Musa we say Boy, which is masculine. And then Shabbos says Kachecha V'yanuchu Va Mincha is V'yanuchu Va. There's a beautiful, I saw the Michtav Eliyahu, another Mefarshim explained, somewhat Kabbalistic, but it's quite simple. The Avodram also explains this. Friday night represents Ata Kiddushin, is a Kiddushin that takes place between us and Hashem. Shabbos morning is already the nisuin, is so to speak. So the first of Friday night is like the kala in the house of the kala. The focus is the kala. Shabbos day is the nisuin, is the chuppah, is where the husband focuses, the husband taking in the kala. And again, so it's we're marrying the kibyocha, the Rabban Shalem. And finally, on Shabbos afternoon, why is it vav? Is because it's the taking the yichud room, the unification of the husband and the wife, or us and the Rabban Shalem. So that's why it actually is a very beautiful ascending order. And lastly, we have after Maariv, we say we repeat Vayechulu. Now, this is very interesting. The Vayechulu is very powerful. It's a testimony, an expression of testimony that Hashem created the world. The Gemara says an amazing statement that we become partners within the creation. The story is that the person that can make requests, if you're becoming a partner in Hashem, you could ask whatever you want by Kiddush. But there's an idea that you say Vayechulu in davening, after davening, and also in the Kiddush, three times, I think it's a Rekech. But the Kiddush is that you say Vayechulu after davening, and you should say the Chatchila best with 10 people. That's how powerful it is with a minyan. If not, Mishmur says at least try to say it with two people. Let's say you daven Shemoneh long. And it's interesting that the priest can say, I think the Be'er Halacha writes that you should try to hurry up a little bit in order to say it together. But there's another Chiddush. Rav Shlomo Zalman Abba says that if you're davening and you hear the tzibah and you're up to Vayechulu, you could say it out loud together with them while you're still in Shemoneh. That's how important it is. So therefore, it's something to keep in mind that Chasnish held that you could say it alone. I know that Rav Shlomo Zalman Abba, when he would come home, he would say it together with his wife. What a beautiful thing. And that's the idea that, and that's the reason also why we do it standing, is because there's a form of testimony. Nevertheless, the person said that you could have relatives, say it together with relatives. It's not mamish, mamish testimony.